news reports or somebody who thinks they read or heard a news report that may or may not be accurate. I don't feel comfortable singling out a presumed or an alleged pathology of the magnificently suffering people of South Africa without applying that standard around the world, and even before that, without having direct direct facts and contextual information. So I really don't want to discuss that anymore.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Why don't BAI actually send somebody to actually investigate whether they're raping these white girls?
Well, you know, we did send somebody to South Africa or to a place where important issues related to this were discussed, and it took a few months to get the reports. We will have, you know, limited resources for a time because of what was taken from the institution by the coup masters, both local and national. But certainly that might merit some consideration, but there are many, many places we need to go. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to read a poem. I know you want discussion. Is that okay?
You know, yes, of course it is. Go ahead.
The city. The city cries for justice. The city cries for freedom. Feel the anguish in the air. Hear the people cry in despair. Give the people back their dignity so they may sing their song of victory. The people demand their right to be free. They will one day claim their victory. And that's about when you mentioned Tulia and reported on it, and that was good.
Did you understand that it's almost as if it was planned by nature to return time of Martin Luther King's birthday celebration? And I'm telling you, what really blew my mind is that the things that were said by the people who were seeking justice there.
That's what inspired me to write it.
They could have been talking about BAI. I'm not
true.
Going to replay the whole thing, but I'd like you to listen.
Okay, and I would
like to know,
how many boroughs does Tulia have?
Boroughs?
Yes.
It's one very small town.
Oh, okay.
All right. But here's what I'm telling you, and in fact, I'm glad that you bring the subject around to Tulia, because I want you to consider this, just this opening statement, and consider it once again as if they were talking about BAI and the ADT and the Utricians and the dissidents, and just listen to it. Listen to it like that.
Sheriff,
here it is.
And the police officers who surround us believe in what they are doing just as much as we do. This is a battle for the hearts and the minds. And we are involved in a debate. We are not adversaries. We are brothers and we are sisters trying to find our way through difficult issues and difficult times. We have gathered because we believe a great injustice has been perpetrated. And we will continue to speak out because it is our right as Americans to say what we believe without embarrassment or fear.
Hear the darkness in front of
you. That's it. That's the part I wanted you to hear. You see? I mean, the creative intelligence spirit that envelopes our collective behavior is truly witty indeed to have this return at this time with that subject, which is right where we left off, speaking about, almost as if prophetically, the same issues that are being faced by the WBAI community. We'll take more phone calls, but may I take my leave of you for a moment? And I will take weeks, I think, for the technicals and retrieving property and all that stuff to make things as smooth as they used to be. So tonight we're being musically minimalistic, so I ask your indulgence and enjoyment as I'd like to play back to back. We've sampled them earlier in the program, but I didn't bring or haven't yet retrieved or found, you know, all of my, you know, things. I quite possibly will, but for now, we're familiar with the with this song, and so we'll hear that, and then we'll hear the original version upon which it's based, and I'll use this time to make myself even better prepared to welcome your phone calls at 212-209-2900. This is Earthwatch on WBAI New York. I'm Robert Knight. Believe it or not, you better believe it, because you made it so.
I'm all right, just weary to my bones. Still, you don't expect to be bright and bon vivant so far away.
It's very famous, Paul Simon, of course, and it seemed to touch the mood of a moment when the atrocities and banishments, that British colonial heritage Anglo-supremacist concept of banning, that South African concept of banning, was taking place. And when he'd sing, I don't have a friend who's not been battered. I don't know a soul that's not abused. That's why I played that song so many times. Now I can be told. But that song is, in fact, itself based on a Bach melody. And this is a rendition that is reminiscent of the Internationale. I have just recently been apprised of this. I've played German versions of that song, American Tune and such. But it is also known, if not traditionally, the credited author, I suppose the lyricist is named Glaser, and the song is known as Because All Men Are Brothers, and was performed many years ago by the great folk singers Peter, Paul, and Mary, now remembering Paul Simon's sample and inspired lyrics. Now give a listen to the original, or the secondary original after Bach's original composition, nevertheless. It's a fine thing for a couple of minutes. Then we'll go back to phone calls at 209-2900.
Because all men are brothers, wherever men may be, one union shall unite us forever, proud and free. No tyrant shall defeat us, no nation strike us down. All men who toil shall greet us, the whole wide world around. My brothers are all others, forever hand in hand, where chimes the bell of freedom.
Voices of the Wilderness and the War Resisters League are sponsoring a weekend honoring the ideals of Dr. Martin Luther King. The January 20th and 21st event includes a Sunday teach-in from 2 to 6 p.m. at the Judson Memorial Church, 55 Washington Square South. Speakers will be Amy Goodman, Daniel Berrigan, Dennis Halliday, Tony Henry, and Dr. Asa Karam. On Monday night, January 21st, there'll be a concert, Musicians Against Madness, featuring Pat Humphreys, Bev Grant, Professor Louie, Carew Thompson, and Viney Burroughs at the Washington Square Church, 134 West 4th Street. For more information, call area code 212-228-0450. That's 212-228-0450.
Thank you, Dred Scott Keyes. Nice to have you back in Unbanned 2. This is Earthwatch on WBAI New York. My name is Robert Knight. The number is 212-209-2900. Special edition of Earthwatch tonight. And you are on the air. Hello? You are on the air. Hello? Oops. How about this one?
Hi.
Hey.
Great, great, great. Unbelievable, great. But you're back. You know, the whole thing began. It was incredible how apparently, you know, a number of people believed this poison that was being spewed out. And at the beginning, Utrice had said, well, we can't tell you why exactly the truth about this matter. You'll have to wait, but we will tell you. And she kept on saying this, that you will know soon why, but we can't tell you right now. Just have patience. And this just went on and on. And they were able to call everyone. Basically, it was the Salem witch trials all over again. She and her Christmas coup gang just called you guys either outright white racists or dupes of white racists without ever, ever providing one iota of evidence. And, you know, I just think that a lot of people, for one reason or another, just because the society is so screwed up in the first place, or they were new listeners, or they may have even been old listeners and somehow or other just wanted to believe her for some unknown reason. And no evidence was ever provided. In fact, to the best of my knowledge, I'm aware of a very prominent black progressives condemning this regime outright. Robert, am I on?
Yes.
Among them, Father Lucas, Basir Mshawi, also I recall some incident in which Gil Noble condemned them. Is that correct?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, Alambe Brass certainly did. And Momia.
See, I cannot speak for Gil Noble, but I do know that the others took very principled positions against the arbitrary and nutritious reign of terror that existed here.
Right. Exactly. You know, and I just hope, in fact, you know, I made this, I called off these names on a present, a host that's still on today, okay? And apparently that host didn't get the message that there's a new wind blowing here in which you just don't cut off people.
Yes, I'm proud to say that Lewis Clayton Jones also spoke out against the misbehavior that was engaged in by the previous regime, a long-time, extraordinarily eloquent radical black activist who actually came to my defense as well, because a long time ago he was on Earth Watch, and I facilitated some protection for him as he was receiving racial threats.
And I'm sure
I'd like to move on, but I will continue on the point that you've raised.
Well, I just want to mention this about, I said this to a host who's still on the air, and I mentioned these names, okay? Instead of questioning me if this person didn't know, you know, I immediately was cut off, and I was given a slap on the, you know, a slap, and saying that I was irresponsible, I should never have mentioned these names, this is outrageous, and you're not, you know, this is a throwback to the Utrecht regime.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I just wanted to say quickly is that you know, how people could believe this stuff without any evidence whatsoever. And Utrecht even had said...
Well, one of the specific admonitions of the July 1968 COINTELPRO memorandum from the offices of the FBI was said to exploit the unsavory backgrounds of enemies in the progressive organizations that you infiltrate. Particularly useful are accusations of fiscal malfeasance.
And, you know, she said once that despite the fact that many people would like to see a debate... between her and, let's say, Bernard, She wouldn't give these people...
Okay, I get the point. I'd like to respond and move on because we don't have much time.
I just hope they're totally repudiated and no one believes them. In fact, I wonder if we can give them a chance a challenge, if it would make any sense to, come on the radio now and present your proof.
Well, suffice it to say that I was always disappointed that Utrecht would never take my invitations to debate on this or any other show.
But I'd like to
move on. I appreciate the points that you've raised. Is it okay if I move on now?
Thanks.
Okay. Because I do want to respond to something that you've raised, which is, if anybody has doubt that those who were dispossessed during the reign of error here at WBAI are not committed to racial justice, to strong and powerful repudiations of bigotry, then if anyone thinks that, then they know nothing of who we are, who I am, and who I believe you are. The Gulf of Tonkin used a false provocation to impassion Americans to give permission for what was a brutal war. We have gone through a process like that here at WBAI, and I think intellectually and internally and in a communitarian way, addressing the issues of race has so much more to do with presenting reliable information, new information, competently to an oppressed and information-thirsty public, in particular communities of color, poverty, Latino, Asian, poor whites, and everyone else, that should be done. We cannot serve black people if we don't serve everybody. And there are some people who, actually... some people who may be new to this have an awful lot of information to absorb. There are some people who may not know every nuance of what we're talking about because of the mutual experiences that we have had. And, of course, it's appalling if someone says, somebody called me a racial pejorative thing. And if I only had that much information, I would be upset too. Hell, I'm upset in any case. But we need people here who can go beyond invidious emotion therapy, who can do something about race and information and presenting it other than just talking into a microphone. And it's those radio skills that have been suppressed and that we hope will once more be part of the verbal economy, which is your community radio station, WBAI. We'll come back to phone calls in a few minutes. This just a little bit of development here. Recent announcement over the wire services indicate that charges were dropped tonight against that Egyptian student accused of lying about that aviation walkie-talkie transceiver radio found in the Millennium Hotel across from the World Trade Center. The Millennium Hotel has, of course, hosted terrorists before. I believe Bessie Ware stayed there during the coup. The wires report, however, that a second guest came forward 3 days after Abdallah Higazi was charged and told officials that the radio did indeed belong to him. The inept federal attorneys and gung-ho prosecutors have put Abdallah Higazi through his own personal hell. He's an accomplished student who was placed in that hotel by academic institutions other than his own design and the probably ethnic bias that surrounded the indictment. Twice in FBI interviews, the poor, falsely indicted man said he knew nothing about a radio. But what do you got? an Arab man and a radio in a hotel. So they put him through hell. Now they're dropping the charges, but I don't think that should be the end of it because, you know, I feel like, much like here, sometimes even justice could not have seemed fair given the atrocities that were committed. And one of the atrocities is ethnic hysteria that has been used as a tool of division here. And that certainly manifests in the reporting of certain commercial networks. And I'd like to take this moment to share just a little bonus with you. I've been working in radio. I've been doing some reports for Flashpoints. And this is a case study of a different kind of journalist about whom I recently did a report. This is a low-fidelity electronic duplication of it, but I think you can hear it clearly enough. And the same kind of tribal hysteria that led the federal prosecutors in this false indictment is the kind of thing you get daily from the commercial corporate newscast, particularly Fox, and one of their star reporters, Geraldo Rivera. I think the story you're about to hear will be self-explanatory, and here it is.
And finally, this is an army, the Taliban Al-Qaeda combo, that has been defeated soundly in the field by our magnificent air armada and by the dogged fighting of the Afghan Alliance troops. But
war correspondent Geraldo Rivera.
Now, I believe a great number of them have successfully made it over the White Mountains into Pakistan.
That was Geraldo Rivera reporting today from what he claims is the Afghan-Pakistan border. But the controversial journalist is now under the gun for crossing a different line, truth in journalism. Ever since jumping ship from CNBC to cover the Afghanistan war for another network, Rivera has followed sensationalistic reports, dramatically dodging distant off-screen gunfire, boasting of carrying a weapon while reporting, and crawling through abandoned Afghan caves, drawing no doubt on his prior experience excavating Al Capone's Chicago vault. But Rivera's flamboyant reporting is being challenged today because of a maudlin report he filed on December 6th, falsely claiming to be standing near Kandahar on the exact spot where three Americans were killed by a misguided bomb from an Air Force B-52. Reciting the Lord's Prayer, Rivera referred the camera to what he called, quote, the hallowed ground where friendly fire took so many of our men and the Mujahideen yesterday, end quote. But it wasn't true. Rivera was actually hundreds of miles from the so-called hell ground, indicating that his report was about as accurate as a Pentagon guidance system. When queried by the Baltimore Sun, Rivera then claimed that he confused Kandahar with Tora Bora, where several Afghans were also killed by friendly fire. Only problem with that explanation is that the Tora Bora incident did not occur until 3 days after the December 6th report, indicating that Rivera was either lying or psychic. Rivera's current network has yet to retract or comment on the report, prompting Bob Steele, director of the ethics program at the Poynter Institute, to demand, quote, a substantive explanation of what this means journalistically and ethically, adding that, quote, if he did this in a way that violates journalistic standards, he is disrespectful not only to his profession, but to the families of those Americans who died, end quote. Geraldo Rivera, the obsequiously patriotic pistol-packing practitioner of sensationalismo, is a correspondent for Fox News. They report, you decide. In New York, and I really am, Robert Knight for Flashpoints.
That's some of the stuff that you couldn't hear here in New York. Now you can again. We're back. You are winning. The number is area code 212-209-2900. This is Earthwatch on WBAI, and it's your turn.
Oh, yeah, so good to hear your voice again. Well, that was a perfect demonstration of how fascism works, don't you think?
Absolutely, yes.
Anybody who still disbelieves has been, I think,
a belligerent policy on the basis of the economic benefit of a small industrial class.
Very industrial. Thank you very much.
Well, well said. Thank you.
Bye.
Wow, that was nice. To the point. You're on the air. Hey.
Yeah, it's amazing. Listening to the program, yeah, you guys are well loved and been surely missed. You know, I think they're the biggest mistake of the of their lives, of the lives of those of the members who thought of that Christmas coup. They've orchestrated that whole episode. You know, don't they realize that they're dealing with activists, man, that won't let up? It'd be crazy. They know that. I mean, how could they possibly win?
Well,
how could they?
Here's the lesson.
You guys are activists. They're insane. I mean, come on. What are you kidding? You organize. You broadcast this stuff. You know how they be. Come on. They're going up against professionals. You do this for a living. This is what you do. You broadcast about things
like this.
Well,
come to think of it, sir, I think you have a point.
what were they thinking?
I'm sorry. I must correct you. You did not say that correctly. I know that what you meant to say is you left out the punctuation of the comma,
yeah.
And what they really meant was, what were they thinking? See, you mispronounced it. You said, what were they thinking? No. It's what were they thinking?
Really, I mean, you know, and then, man, you know, it's, I mean, the broadcast, the quality of the broadcast, the documentaries over the course of the year, the events, I mean,
you mean the breaking news Mamiya special?
No, but I'm not talking about that whole thing now. I'm talking about the quality of the broadcast by, you know, the members that were absent over the course of the year. I mean, it was a major loss, and then all throughout the events of September. It was a big gap. Okay, I had no idea what was going on, other than what was being reported in the major news media. Okay, and that's it. You know, I mean, there was a major gap in the city.
Well, you know, let me more seriously address the question you're raising about what were they thinking. I don't know what they were thinking, but I will try to sympathetically project at least this far. Certainly not to within the trenches of warfare that they surrounded themselves with. But many of those who were duped by a charismatic purveyor of invective may have felt that they were serving their African community or whichever one they imagined themselves to be defending. But what is tragic, and I do mean this in the most classic, dramatic, and academic sense, is the tragedy. The thing that makes a good premise go bad is that in their efforts, if indeed that was their purpose to address racism, they did not honor the race they sought to serve. They did not honor the intelligence of black people. You know, they did not go to their highest place, the highest mind of black people. And once you start going down that road, it's hard to scramble back up. And and there's a lot of people who have been hurt and don't understand things fully, who think that what they were told is all there is to know. And that's a very serious and heartfelt dilemma that I hope that we can properly address.
I would listen to the programs, you know, of some of the members that, you know, remained at the station, some of the, and I mean, call after call was met with nastiness and hostility, and I mean, you know, say goodbye, say goodbye, you know, say, I'll say goodbye, man, what is this guy, what is he, I mean, you know, and man, it's, you know, and then I listen to Amy Goodman's program sometimes, and you know, I mean, it brings a tear to your eye. The subject matter, the content, the points that she touches on, and I mean, man, you know, it is dealt with a tremendous amount of sensitivity and pertinent information and questioning and dialogue. And I mean, man, you know, all that was missing. All of that was missing. And all, you know, all throughout the events of September, oh, man, you know,
we did have free speech radio news, which was a good tip, and pardon me for mentioning it, but Flashpoints has remained a consistently strong innovator of information and news in that regard.
Right. In the mornings, mm-hmm. Somebody was on in the mornings, and this guy was just basically reading the headline. He was reading, you know, I guess off the wire or whatever. He's reading the headlines. That's it. From the major news outlets. You can get that from anywhere. This is an alternative, you know, radio station. It's an alternative means of information. You know, I mean, that's it.
Well, I'd like to thank you for the comments. It's almost... technically it is good time.
Well, I'm
going to try and rush a few more callers through.
I'm just glad you're back, and I'm sure I speak for many many New Yorkers. You know, welcome back to one and all. You guys have been surely missed.
Well, thank you, and by extension, let me once again thank the audience for being so brave. You're on the air.
Yeah. Sort of very personal to me, this stuff, because a lot of PA broadcasts over the years are, in fact, close friends of mine, were and are, and I'm pretty close. And for the sake of time, I'm going to move quickly, but there's a lot that I'm thinking about. One, I did hear a lot of broadcasters and a lot of listeners through the course of this say things like, this is an in-house issue. This is a personnel problem. We can't talk about this. This is the way a corporation would do it. Profit, non-profit, whatever. That's precisely true. It is the way a non-profit corporation or corporation would do it. And I really think that we got to think, and maybe we could begin toward it and argue this, that BAR is in fact something else. A community, a family, an experiment in social change, and the radio. And if you do conceive of it that way, that talk becomes glib. If you don't, it makes an idiotic kind of sense. So I think that's one thing we have to think about. Another, and this is tricky, there's a lot of value in things like satellites, national programming, quick news and things like that. But the way I think of BAI, very deeply speaking, is not only that too, but really a resistance to mass society and massified thinking, to a monolithic thoughtless voice. And in a way, the intimate dialogue about yearning, about feeling, about possibility that people can have in the middle of the night, not looking for numbers, not looking for audiences, not arbitron ratings, but speaking out of what might be without being marketed, I think it's something we all have to think about much more, or we're going to lose this argument at some level. Certainly, and I say this is sort of personal, there are people I knew a little bit, people I didn't know at all in the post-coup thing, who were saying things that were shockingly authoritarian and manipulative, and either consciously or unconsciously deceitful. And I had a hard time. Even people I knew and had some regard for. And I don't like saying things like Uncle Tom, sellout, even if you get tempted. I don't think that's for this discussion.
Right, I agree.
I didn't know, though, and this is really something in psychology and in life, how to say to people, look, whether you know it or not, there are authoritarian, manipulative, ugly things going on. that you might think you're saying or you might not think you're saying. And without trying to be abusive, how can we open this up honestly if I'm feeling that? In other words, it's a very peculiar thing, like what you said about race. Obviously, there's a lot that goes on even among progressive people about race and gender and things like that. That's tricky. That's not simple. And it isn't a clear-cut thing, and it's something we all have to think about. But when that kind of thing is manipulated for either reactionary, mainstream, or ambitious purposes, you're getting into an ugly pool. And I even think there were people on there who were fairly skilled rhetoricians and did it, whatever their motives, tragic, opportunistic, God even knows what. And it's a heavy thing to look at. You're really touching hot coals in an ugly way, whether you know it or not. And there are even coals that should be touched and things we have to speak about. I mean, I'm not the kind of person that there is too much of that. I thought you were very interesting in the course of this year, particularly Amy and all that. Something Paul Goodman, the critic, used to say, you were fighting for your work, for your institution, and for open space and mass society. And I reject the idea that that's narrow, that that isn't political. I even put it another way, it's as fundamental as even fighting for things like public housing and everything else. Not less so, but equally so. And to say these are not issues, and to have too many people accept that, shows how much intellectual and emotional work we have to do, and how easily we misconceive them. That's what I have to say here.
It was extraordinarily well said, and you've obviously spent more than a minute or a tribiatum thinking about this.
Oh, yeah.
I do hope that, you know, proper committees and individuals trying to redeem WBAI have access to your thoughts.
Thank you.
Be in touch. Okay. Oh, you can reach me at the station now.
I'd like to. I mean, you know, I've been actually, Robert, I've been talking to Margot and Paul McIsaac, my old friend Charles Pitts, not over the years, but lately. Carletta, too, for that matter. Very heavily about these matters, and they've been very emotional, very urgent, very complicated, and I've said what I had to say, and I want to be in the celebration and in the joy. But I want to step back and do some hard thinking. Mm-hmm.
Well, do stay in touch and share those thoughts.
Okay, thank you.
That was a very good call.
Thank you.
This is Earthwatch, and you are on the air.
Oh, good morning. Oh, boy. Finally. Robert, welcome back. Welcome back to everyone that's been banned, fired, suspended, and, you know.
No, wait a minute. It's thank you very much, but, you know, it's me who's welcoming you back.
Okay.
Because you can listen.
Right, right.
And speak.
Thank you again. There are a number of things. I just would like you to answer a couple of them if you can. Is Clayton Riley still going to be on air? Because he, from what I understand, he had confrontation.
I don't know. But I do have this thought. The raging gynophobia and threats of physical assault.
Exactly.
That were publicly and universally documented.
That's right.
At the board meeting should sufficient cause for responsible leadership in this institution to reduce the liability.
Right.
That has been reflected by them.
Okay, thank you.
You hear what I'm saying, don't you?
Yes, I do. I hope they address that issue.
It's essential for the protection of the listeners, of the producers, and I can guarantee you that from my own face-to-face confrontations.
Okay.
And it's an issue that's very much involved in protecting the assets and resources through legal liabilities to this institution.
Right. The second thing is, how is a black woman, I'm offended that Marion Barry's on that board. I mean, I'm all for rehabilitation and second chances, but he's too cold. You know, he doesn't need to be there, in my opinion.
Well, you know, I think Marion Barry should join the civil rights boycott that the other Mary Berry members did over the past weekend's national board meeting. I think that's one boycott that should be encouraged.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. And I wish some of the other callers would be kind of brief.
Okay. All right, everybody. You hear that? We're going to take just 15 more minutes. And so let's go into blurt mode. Remember that? That's where you distill your thoughts to their maximum brevity, minimum length, so that the greater number of people can have said at least something. So go ahead. You're first.
Okay, well, getting to the Egyptian immigrant, I was going to say, you really are a very, very good reporter. That thing on Geraldo Rivera, I think Geraldo Rivera is just sensationalism. He's something like Alex Jones on shortwave, if you ever hear him. He's on 5.085. But getting to the stuff he's saying about racism with the stuff with the immigrant, with the Egyptian immigrant, this country doesn't even have any borders. We let every third world person from every third world country.
No, we're not going to. No, we're not going to encourage uninformed xenophobia here.
Whoa.
You're on the air.
Well, shocking welcome back.
Thank you.
This is from the unknown angry caller, and like to offer you an olive branch for all the past, you know, name calling to you in the past. As a branch of olive branch to you.
Thank you. The name calling, that can't hurt
and
anything
like
but my feelings.
And I also like to say, is Paul still around or he's been expelled?
Oh, no. No, he's still around. He's recently become a labor analyst. In fact, was heard speaking at length about labor issues on the Monday evening WBAI newscast, and fortunately they were able to present the view of the Utricians that had not been heard very much over the past year.
Well,
but I appreciate this special evening, and I expect Baldrienzo and Let 'Em Talk will be back. This is just because of the nature of the moment.
All right.
An extended version of Earthwatch.
I know.
And,
may I
and you can hear Baldrienzo on the WBAI Evening News with Jose Santiago.
Okay, and also I'd like to say one thing. Although I may not agree with this radio station, I still love you guys anyway. And I like to say, religious fundamentalism is nothing but fascism wearing clerical robes.
Okay, thank you for the comment. Hey, blurting now. You're on the air.
I think the phone number for WBAI should be changed and end in WBAI so that we can let people like to say, you know, because the number now is in a numerical.
Okay, I understand. By saying that, you mean our call letters would mean that we are acronymically indexed, WBAI. We be acronymically indexed.
And also, I created an idea for bookmark. We'll go into the libraries, you know, in all the books, so when people open them who are not knowing of WBAI, they'd see a thing that says WBAI, listen to support of freedom of speech and non-commercial. So we should issue a cassette. You know, they cost $1 for me, so they could cost much less if we got them in quantity and distribute the highlights of WBA. I think Pete has a CD on that matter.
Pete Karakas, one of the instigators of some of the great sit-ins and demonstrations.
So,
well, thank you. I got to move, Monroe. It's good to say hello to you, but it's Monroe. Hello, Monroe. It's good to say hello to you in this mode. Even you're on the air. Go ahead. Yeah, Chaka Khan.
I just wanted to say that it is so good to hear your voice back on the air. Do you know who this is?
No, I don't, because you're having cellular disenfranchisement.
Okay, can you hear me now?
A little bit, but blurt it out.
I'll blurt it out. I'm very glad to hear your voice back on the air.
I heard that.
And you know who this is?
That the digital artifacts make it hard for me to recognize the voice, though.
Oh, well, that's good. Then I can be your secret admirer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a secret admirer, and I'm very glad to have kept your spot warm.
Well, you sound as a man of wisdom, and I I appreciate all kinds of spiritual protection, so thank you very much.
And I will appear for you soon.
All right. This is Earthwatch. You're on the air. Hello.
Welcome home.
Hey, yes.
Yes, welcome not just to Wall Street, but welcome to my home and all of our homes.
You know, you sound a lot like one of my role models in radio, Bob Fass, one of the progenitors or extenders of the concept of freeform radio.
I've never heard myself on the radio. I didn't know I did. I heard myself on the phone. I didn't know if I didn't know.
Only some fool like you would answer that like that. That's what I love. Bob Fass, Radio Unnameable, will be heard. Yay! It will be heard again tonight at midnight.
I hope so.
What you been thinking about?
Well, I've been thinking that what the station needs now is some strong leadership, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that maybe Valerie should think of this as a second chance, you know? And
yeah.
Really get moving, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a good thought. I've only got a few more minutes, and I see
welcome home.
My 3:30 is here.
And you know there are no sacred cows. Mutrice proves that.
Get out of here. This is Earthwatch, and you're on the air. Just another couple of minutes now. Go ahead. Go ahead. We're blurting. Can you hear me? Hello.
I think America's name should be changed from USA to UBR, United Banana Republics.
Okay. Well, thank you. All right. It's time for your epigram.
Hello. I finally got on?
That's it? That's your words for posterity?
I cannot believe this.
Well, you know what? That's second only to... What is this button?
Huh?
What is this button?
What is this what?
What does this button do?
I have no idea.
That's a joke.
Okay. No, what I want to say is, like, I'm a 65-year-old woman, black woman, and I've been a supporter of WBAI for 40 years. And I don't like to be used. And I found that that is exactly what Utrice did from the giddy-up. You know, I could see through her immediately. And also the proponent of... black support or whatever you want to call it. Clayton Riley was kicked off a black station because he insulted black people so often. And I feel that I woke up Tuesday morning, I turned on the radio, I was overjoyed.
So,
glad.
You know, yes, because this is, once again, WBAI, not WLIBAI. It is your station. It is all people's. You can't serve one without serving them all. Like I was saying before, I learned that lesson with the balconies and the water fountains in North Carolina. You cannot serve all unless you serve the one, and you cannot serve anyone unless you serve them all. That's going to be pretty much my epitaph for tonight.
Okay, but listen, it's just so good to hear you back. We're strong, and as they say, we're not monolithic. People are people. That's one thing I found out in 65 years. People are simply people, and we're not stupid.
Well, hopefully people can be people. Thank you for calling. You'll be the last call.
Okay.
All right. So, Mike Sargent is here. And
did you figure out who the mystery admirer is?
No.
That was me.
Oh, that was a mystery. All righty then. So, we're going to transition into night shift, and I'll just one more time make the transition with the Peter, Paul, and Mary version of the Bach, of the more popularly known Paul Simon song. And we'll be back in Earthwatch mode next week and with the morning news on Wake Up Call in a little while from now. Stay tuned. Enjoy. Be free. Live free and live. Talk to you in a week. If you want to be in touch, I can be reached as Robert Knight or RKNIGHT at escape.com. You can Now send letters to the Earthwatch WBAI, 120 Wall Street, New York, 10005. So coming up next will be Night Shift. So, dun, 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 dun. It's been amazing and beautiful. Thank you. This is what I call waking up.
Shall defeat us, no nation strike us down. All men who toil shall greet us, the whole wide world around. My brothers are
WBAI. What?
I wish they'd hurry up with that transmission. I want to go to bed.
I suggest that you reach deep down inside yourself there and try and find something that'll keep you awake just a little while longer, because this transmission coming up may just rekindle your will to live.